Our Old Testament lesson today is Psalm 100. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we are God's. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter the Lord's gate with thanksgiving and God's court with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. And God's faithfulness is to all generations. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
I want to emphasize or footnote Jeff's comments to the children. I think one of the reasons he likes that psalm so much is because it's about making noise. And all of us who know Jeff know that he is very good at that. But it is a joyful noise, indeed. Our scripture reading from the Gospels this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading from the 10th chapter, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "Well, what is it you want me to do?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." And then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, today we continue our Lenten series of values-based faith. I know this is rather redundant for some of you, but since we are in a series, I do want to take just a minute to bring people who haven't been with us up to the point where we are today. We've been looking at different values of our faith that come from our scriptures. And the idea of basing our faith on our values but in addition to our doctrine and our dogma. And instead of putting so much emphasis on what we believe, begin to put more emphasis on how we live according to our values. And some of the values we have looked at We looked at awe and wonder and grace as values that remind us that we live in an eternal presence in this creation that we know as God. We've looked at hope and faithfulness as those things that we can count on, that we know are true and sure. We looked at love and justice to remind us that we live in relationship. We are not isolated. We live in relationship with one another, with the God of the universe, and with all of creation itself. We exist in relationship through love and justice. And today, we look at joy and service. Two values that in many ways grow out of values that we have already looked at. We've also been discussing these values in our Wednesday night discussion study groups here at the church. And so some of the things I share with you on Sunday morning actually comes out of our discussions on Wednesday nights. And last week we talked about what's the difference between joy and happiness. And it was pretty much the consensus of the group that joy, or let's go with happiness first, that happiness is a good feeling. It's something that comes to us and makes us feel good, but it's very circumstantial. It's related to something that's happening to us or around us. And happiness is often fleeting. But it makes us feel good, and we like to be happy. Joy, on the other hand, is something that's deeper. It's a deep, abiding feeling that everything's okay. You can see how this is directly related to our ideas of grace and wonder and awe. This joy that comes from within. What's the little song we in the church learned as children? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That's right. And then the leader says, where? And then again, where? The joy is deep. It's down in our hearts. But where does this joy come from? Where does it come from? I want to share something with you that I discovered just this week as I was looking at joy from different perspectives. And it's joy from an Eastern Christian perspective, the Eastern Orthodox tradition. And in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, there is a word that they use called karmolupe. This is Greek. And it comes from two words that you find throughout the New Testament, but you never find this particular word. And one of those words is kara. Kara, which means joy. And the other one is lupe, which means sorrow, grief, pain of body and mind. And even the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, what we call the second letter to the Corinthians, there's a place where he reminds the Corinthians that he has great joy and great sorrow. But the Eastern Orthodox Church puts these two together in this word, karalupe, karamolupe, Caramelupe, which means bittersweet, mixed together. Which gets much closer to how we really experience life. When we talk about, oh, be joyful, be joyful, be joyful, most of us think that means we have to be happy all the time. But joy is this deep, abiding awareness that regardless of the circumstances of our lives, we are in the presence of God. And tied directly to this idea of caramelupe, this bitter sweetness, is repentance. Now, how in the world did we get from joy to repentance? Because what happens when we repent, and the Greek word for repent is metanoia, and basically all repentance is a change in perspective. It literally means to turn and see the world in a different way. And when we repent, we turn from our worldview, the way we see things, and suddenly we see it differently. And that is repentance. And repentance in the biblical sense is when we begin to see the world through awe and wonder and grace and hope and faith and love and justice. And we can't look anywhere in creation without seeing those things, even in those things that we would call terrible. It's hard to explain if this repentance has not taken place. It's hard to explain to one how I can have joy when things around don't seem happy. And repentance is the place where this takes place. And in repentance itself, there is sorrow, because we are giving up a way that we have always thought, a way that we have always believed, the way that we were sure the world was. And then suddenly we discover that it's different. And when Jesus comes preaching the same message that John the Baptist preached, the same message that Isaiah and other prophets of the Old Testament preached, when Jesus comes preaching repentance, and that's the very first thing he says to people, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn and look and see that the kingdom of God is already here, right now. And it's filled with awe and wonder and love and justice and grace and hope. A bitter sweetness as we give up in order to see the world in a new way. And what this does, in many ways, is it leads us with this need, this desire for others to know and understand and experience the world the way we do. And we want to share this. We want to serve one another. We want to express this in worship. We want to get out into the world that we are in relationship with and be a part of it, with each other, with creation itself. And this is where the idea of service comes in. In the Old Testament, there's the word that is used for service throughout the Old Testament is the Hebrew word Obadah. And this word can mean a variety of things. And one of the best places to see this is in the story of the Exodus. This word is used at the very beginning of Exodus to talk about hard labor, service. The people of Israel are under the hard labor of Pharaoh. They are slaves. And this word is used to describe this condition, this oppressive work. But by the time you get to the end of the Exodus story, the same word is used over and over again as the Israelites build the tabernacle in the wilderness. They are called to serve. They are called to work in service of God and the tabernacle. And so the same word over the course of the story of the Exodus becomes joyful. And that's why the psalmist can say, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord." I so appreciated the anthem that the choir sang this morning, because did you notice how somber it started out? "Oh Lord, I'm old. Remember me." And then all of a sudden it was, "But I will praise the Lord. I will make a joyful noise." And this anthem musically embodies this idea of kara malupe. And that is the joy that we are called to as people of faith. In the New Testament, there are several words for service. Quickly, one is ergon. Ergonomics. Ergon. And it just means work. Work. Interestingly enough, it is the word that the Gospel of John uses over and over and over to describe what Jesus does. The works of Jesus. Jesus performed works. He didn't perform miracles in the Gospel of John. He performed works. And he tells the disciples, "You will do the same works that I do, even more works than I have done." This is the word that's used over and over and over. Works. And then the other word, another word used in the New Testament is doulos or douloi, which means servant or slave. Paul loves this word because Paul is always talking about we are called to be servants of Christ. We are called to be slaves to the gospel. This means total commitment. And in many ways, it's a total commitment over which we have no control because the grace of God has been poured on us. And we can't see the world any differently. And this is servant, doulos. And a third word is for ministering, for caring for one another. And that is diakoneo. And we Presbyterians should recognize that word because many Presbyterian churches like ours have a diaconate of deacons who serve and care. And these are the words that Jesus uses intermittently, but the one Jesus primarily uses, diakoneo. In the passage we read today, when he says, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And if you want to drink my cup, James and John, then that's what you're called to. You're called to the place where the first is last and the last is first, where the servant becomes the one served and the one being served becomes the servant. And all of this grows out of a sense of joy. Not happiness all the time, but joy that is abiding and with us and in us in all circumstances. The Eastern Church has a fable, a parable, that says that God sent angels to the earth and said, bring back the most precious thing on earth to me. And one angel comes back with a drop of blood from a person who has sacrificed their life to save another person. And God says, yes, this is indeed precious. A second angel comes back with a breath, a captured breath, the last breath of a nurse who has died from nursing someone with a dreaded disease. And God says, yes, this is precious. And the third angel comes back and has one tear in a vial. And God says, well, what is this? And the angel says, this is the tear of one who has repented. And God says, this is indeed the most precious thing. This is echoed by Jesus in our scriptures, where Jesus says, the angels rejoice over the repentance of one sinner. And what this story tells us is that the sorrow of repentance is the doorway into the ultimate joy of the gospel, of life itself. And this is why we are called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. My friends, looking at joy from a different perspective, repenting, we discover that it is a threshold into a fullness of life. It's not frivolous. It is not capricious. It is full and deep. And it is that thing that we as people of faith want to proclaim and want to share by serving each other, by serving creation itself. And in doing so, we serve God. So let us go from this place today filled with joy. Amen.